Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Oh, hey there. Sorry, I was doing some maintenance for episode 184. Thanks for joining us. Much appreciated. We're almost on time. What are we at? 907, and I said 905. That's about as good as it gets around here. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Monday. I hope you made it through. I know, three-day weekend is always tough to come back from, so I get it. If you're a little sluggish, a little slow, hopefully we'll make your day better. Thank you for joining us. John Lund Unleashed for episode 184 on this Monday, July 7th. You can see right there, three Giants headed to Atlanta. Robbie Ray, not a surprise, especially after his complete game. Logan Webb, of course, not a surprise. Randy Rodriguez, a bit of a surprise. And I'm going to give you a bigger surprise on Randy Rodriguez, which is pretty amazing, which is the player vote, which shows you. And it's very rare. You and I have talked about this. It's very rare for a non-closer to get to the All-Star game. But right now he has a 0.69 ERA. Nice. Which may have done that. But anyway, Randy Rodriguez is an All-Star as well. So three Giants are going to the All-Star game in Atlanta. We'll get into that conversation today. Also, and good morning. Whoa, I should warn you before I come on the stage, like, whoa, dude, warn us. Weekend in Sacramento, All-Stars, is Adames back from what, you ask yourself? This is not good. Eric Miller hurt. Could you add that to the needs for the Giants at the trade deadline? There has been an NBA trade that I think affects the Warriors, even though the Warriors aren't in the trade. I'll explain that. Al Horford, everybody, I don't know, maybe it's just social media-wise, and you can't always trust social media, but everybody's acting like 39-year-old Al Horford is going to change the Warriors' outlook of the season if they get him, and I just I don't agree with that. Giannis is in no rush. I'll show you a video that kind of is like, I'm not too worried about it. 49ers revenge, I'll explain that. Dad bod, I've got something like that. Did you see over the weekend? I'm not a huge Oasis fan, but I get it. I get all the hype around it. But the Back to the Beginning, the Back to the Beginning was pretty cool. I got to admit, I saw a lot of video on that over the weekend. Random things happen throughout the show. If you're new around here in the caboose, you have to stay to the end of the show today. I don't care what you have going, cancel a meeting, whatever the case may be. I have a throwback today that you're going to laugh hilariously at. And it was brought on by something that I saw over the weekend. And I was like, I know I have this somewhere, and I actually found it. So I got a throwback for you as well. A ton to get to in episode 184 on this Monday. And like I said, hopefully we'll make your long weekend return to the trenches at least palatable today for a Monday, July 7th version of the show. If you are new around here, thank you for making the time. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure that you subscribe. Tell all your friends and enemies. Hit us with a like before you get out of here today as well. And if you get those alerts on, because we got a bunch of new stuff that we actually just recorded that we got to send out. Plus, I'll send out a long version of this, a throwback that I'm going to do. I'll put that on the John Lund Unleashed page today as well. That is on YouTube, the big B in that corner, the BSC that you see there on the corner, unless you're watching on the or listening on the podcast and you're like Apple, Spotify, and you're like, what's that? That is the Bay Area Sports Collective, which is my show. A bunch of ex-KNBRs, plus a couple of great people in addition to that. So me, Tom Tolbert, Polymax Particles with Creative Tony. Creative Tony was our creative director at KNBR, and he joins Polymax and Polymax Particles. That is also Rod Brooks, Quality Hang with Rod Brooks. In addition, it's Amy G and former Giant Jeremy Affeld. So all of those shows are on YouTube on the Bay Area Sports Collective. If you would join, that would be awesome. And keep those alerts on for that channel, because those shows happen all the time. I don't even know. They don't tell me anymore, because I just let the cat out of the bag on everything. They're like, we can't. They'll lend anything. So make sure that you subscribe and keep those alerts on the Bay Area Sports Collective channel as well. Good morning to those watching on X at John Lund Radio. I am often on that platform, so you can check out stuff. If you want to leave comments, questions, thoughts, that's a good place to do it. I'm on Instagram as well, at John Lund Radio, if you want to join me there. Facebook, my personal page, John Lund and John Lund Unleashed. LinkedIn, we're messing with people who should actually be working for a living. And make sure that you put your comments, if you're watching a little bit later, underneath the show right there. Or You can hit me with a super at all times during the show, which will guarantee that your stuff, questions, comments, thoughts get on the show. And that's a donation to the show as well, which we always appreciate. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Before we get out to roll call, and roll call is the people who are in John Lund Unleashed in a cool chat room, so you can mosey on over to here if you would like. But I want to tell you about my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Repel. He is the fine sponsor of the program. That's called the QR code, kiddies. And all you got to do is hit that thing and you go straight to the website. And what that will do is, it's like, what is Dr. Repel all about? He makes you feel better and look better, man, woman, whatever the case may be, probably not child, but you're going to feel great about things. In fact, I swear this just happened. I walked in, I was talking to my wife and she goes, oh, Dr. Riopel's got some specials today. What he's got going on. So he's even got specials. She checked that out. I didn't, but she's got pain in her shoulder, her elbow, not as much anymore because Dr. Riopel, one of the first in California to do stem cell to make you feel better. Just click on the QR code and just get an appointment. Talk to him about it. It is absolutely awesome. He does a great job. And like I said, he's one of the first in California. So if you've got pain, Dr. Repel is going to help you with stem cell. And that's no joke, man. It is awesome. I have seen it firsthand for my wife. We have, like I said, this freezer that she's got all these wraps. She doesn't even use it anymore. It's awesome. So Dr. Repel, one of the first in California to do the stem cell. And then I was in there last week. I was doing the update. And low T, I've had it for a long time and I've had it like it's a disease or something. But look, you get cranky, you get older, your metabolism slows down, all those kind of things. You want to have energy. You just want to feel good. You want to feel like yourself. And I was doing low T for a long time and I had to go in there weekly and that was no bueno for me. And so essentially what I do is I take a blood test and then about every 4 months, I do a quick procedure and I feel like myself again. And I've never seen that anywhere else. And Dr. Riopel does it. So those are a couple of things that we do around our house. But Dr. Riopel does all sorts of things for men, women, make you feel better, look better. So if you didn't get to that QR code, all you got to do, and you see those legs in the picture there, that is Dr. Riopel right there. Dr. Riopel is awesome. R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. And if you check that out, Google it. He will take care of it. Make sure it's very important that when you call or when you click on the QR code or whatever the case, however you get a hold of him, that you make sure that you tell him I sent you over and he will treat you extra special, extra well. So that is Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning for a July 7th. Let's say good morning to everybody. Aaron is here this morning. Good to see you, Scott. Hello. Joy. It's always a joy. You know that. Dom, good morning, Dom. It's great to see you, man. Jake is here this morning. Man, we got a lot of people in the room. That's awesome, man. John, it's good to see you, my friend. John Joseph, very, very, very good to see you today. Konnichiwa, Joji. It's very nice to see you this morning. Enrique, hello, Enrique. Good to see you, friend. Harry is here this morning. Again, I'm in the chat room at John Lund Unleashed. The 1420 is here this morning. We got a bunch of people. Pine is here this morning, bright and early. Hello, hello, hello. So again, if you want to say hello to everybody, if you want to jump in on the chat room, it's always very cool. Welcoming crew. You don't have to agree with all the dumb stuff that I say. So just come on over and say good morning to everybody. It is a great chat room and it's at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. So make sure that you're subscribed and make sure you say hello. So if you're over on, any other platform, say hello. Make sure you join. That would be outstanding. All right, let's get to things. And we do have a great show for episode 184. And like I said, you got to stay to the end because my throwback thing today, you're just going to be like, what? So anyway, I'm not even overselling that. All right, weekend in Sacramento for the Giants. They take 2 of 3. They lose Friday. They lose with Justin Verlander. And we did a Saturday show, as we always do. Remember, we're here Monday through Friday around 9 a.m. And then Saturdays we do 10 a.m. So we're here 6 days a week. Plus we send out stuff all throughout the day. But last time you and I got together was Saturday morning and Justin Verlander had not pitched well. There had been a couple of times during this, he's 0-6 now, where he went, he deserved a better fate, not on Friday. But then Saturday, Logan Webb does what Logan Webb does, which is he goes 7 innings. We expect it. Anything less is like, what the hell's going on? They get a win. And then yesterday, even though he had 5 walks, better, Birdsong was better, and they got to find that solid number 3 starter, or I think they really have to go out and try to get somebody. But he was good enough. He was solid, but 5 walks are still concerning. Bullpen does what the bullpen does, and they take 2 of 3 out of the A's. I'm sorry if I'm not going to jump up and down for taking 2 of 3 from the A's. It's nothing against the A's. I like their young core of offensive players, especially Nick Kurtz. That's a nice, that dude can play. And Lawrence Butler's a nice player, and the kid in the center can really play. Clark can really play great defense. Soderstrom is a guy that I really, really like. I mean, they're it's a fun lineup, top to bottom. They've got some nice players. Jacob Wilson, by the way, first shortstop rookie all-star starter since, what, 1960, I think I saw. So that kid, although when he learns a little bit of patience at the plate and can walk a little bit and add that, I mean, it's part of his greatness is that he's up there, he's constant movement, and he's hacking, and I understand that. But as he matures, he's going to understand what's a good pitch, what's a bad pitch, and then he's really going to be cooking with gas. So that's it. Look, it's a nice young team offensively, and if you could merge the Giants and the A's, you'd have something there. But they just don't have the pitching. So when you look at the offense for the Giants and the type of plays they made, nice. I give it to them. But what's happening here in very short order is that you're going to be looking at the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Mets and some really good teams coming up here, and they're just not going to be able to get away with some of the things that they were able to get away with the A's. So you can only play who's ahead of you. It's hard to get wins in any professional sport, so I'm not necessarily grading the win, but what I'm saying is that it was really disappointing at the beginning of this, and you and I talked about it. It was disappointing at the beginning of this stretch where it was Miami. Oh, you got swept? Where it was the White Sox? Oh, you lost 2-3? They really needed to, I said this at the beginning of these 13 games that they just got done with the A's, and in there was Arizona too. And I thought, they needed to go 11-2, 10-3. They didn't. And now it becomes difficult. Now it's the Phillies. Now it's the Dodgers. Now it's the Mets. Now, so there's some really difficult games in there for the Giants. And between now, these games, the All-Star break coming back, we'll see. We'll see what these guys really are. And now as we sit here on the 7th, so we're just over 3 weeks away from the trade deadline, and if I'm Buster Posey, I'm still setting it up. And we'll see with the powers that be that have the power of the wallet for the Giants. Will he be able to walk in there? And I'm not saying Rafael Devers. But let me throw this up for you real quick, and then we'll get into the All-Stars and a ton of stuff. But I think I still have this up. If I don't, then I'm a dope and we'll live on. But, this is maybe a week ago, ranking Major League Baseball's top 50 trade deadline candidates. Now, Bregman's not a guy that they're going to get. Duran, I don't think is a guy he's going to get. That's where it starts to me. Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins, he's having a horrible season. I mean, his ERA is around 6. And so maybe, just maybe, you could look at him and say, hey, could we slot him in as a 3 and not give up a ton for him and possibly, solidify that third spot in the rotation, and then all of a sudden Birdsong is a 4, and then who the hell knows, Roop or Verlander, and then we got a little bit of depth within the organization because he's not having a good year, but he's a great pitcher. Peralta, they're not trading him. The Brewers are in this thing. Suarez, I doubt the Red Sox are trading him. Lugo would be a great get. He's 35. But he would be perfect. Zach Gallen, there's no way the Diamondbacks are trading him to the Giants, and he's having a horrible season, but I'd love to get him. Merrill Kelly has always been a Giants killer. Again, Diamondbacks, are they going to trade anybody to the Giants? I mean, like Josh Naylor would be amazing, right? Because they still haven't solved first base, and it doesn't look like Rafael Devers is getting around the bases real well. He ripped a double over the weekend, and he was kind of jogging around. Ryan O'Hearn's been a guy that they've talked about. I don't love him just because he's having an amazing season, but he's in his career as a journeyman. They do mention the Giants there. Ozuna, they don't need a DH. Again, you start getting these. And let me get into Eric Miller for a minute. See these relief pitchers in a row here? There's a lot of relievers. And the number one thing, the easiest thing to do at the deadline is to get add to your bullpen. And with Eric Miller getting hurt and the fact that the Giants are so protective of not burning their pen because they did it last year, they had the second most innings pitched out of the bullpen last year behind the Tigers. And their bullpen burned out at the end of the year. And so they're very, very trying to be very, very careful with that. I wouldn't be shocked if they added a pen arm. Ryan McMahon's an interesting guy because he can play second base, which I know Chapman's back. Schmidt's getting close, but they may need that. Pete Fairbanks is a guy I really like. He can throw into the high 90s. Chapman is the same kind of a guy. He could do that. Like if you're looking to add an arm to the pen, which they might with Eric Miller's injury, he's going to be out for a while. Luis Robert Jr., he's an interesting one. Where do you put him? But he's having a horrible season, but he could add to this offense. Ward's interesting. Severino, please no. Again, there's another relief pitcher there. Maley's been hurt a little bit. Not a big fan of any of these guys. Detmers has been a guy that he was a high pick, and they put him in the pen, and he's been really good. Love to see him move. I know you're going to hate the idea of Walker Buehler and he's not having a good year, but there's a guy who's got playoff experience, won a game 7 last year. He wouldn't cost him much, if anything, because he's having such a horrible year. Fetty, I saw him pitch yesterday against the Cubs. He was horrible. So anyway, there's a bunch of names after that. But all this, my point is, there's Urias of the A's because of the return of Geloff. He's a guy that doesn't really have a position. Ramon Urias, I know these names aren't going to blow you away, but there again is a solid second baseman. He's average. I mean, they could get average second base play. Urias, same thing. They could get average second base play. Mankata's the same kind of a guy. He can play all over the infield. And you might be saying to yourself, look, those are the, I'm not blown away by that, but they're getting such poor production out of first base, second base. Even if they were getting some average production, they would be all right. But I guess my point in all of this is, as good as the Giants have been, if I'm Buster Posey, I'm going to the powers that be and say, look, we probably need a number three starter. Wouldn't hurt to get a bullpen arm now that Eric Miller is down. Remember, they had Kyle Harrison who could start a relief. They had, and again, I'm not saying that this is a bad trade. It was a great trade for Devers, but they had Hicks who could start a relief. They're very thin as far as their both starting and relief pitching is concerned. I don't want to see more of Joey Lucchesi. I don't want to see more of, you know, there's a number of guys I don't want to see. I don't want to see Sean Jelly back up here. So you'd look at yourself and say, well, this pen's really, really good. They don't, well, Eric Miller was incredible this year. And remember, they don't, it's not like they got a bunch of left-handers down there. So they probably need a left-hander. So they might, you know, they might need a third starter. They might need another bullpen arm, especially from the left side. They certainly need either a first baseman or a second baseman. So for a team that's been in it as much as they have, and it's great to get Rafael Devers, but if he's not ready to play first base anytime soon, and it certainly doesn't look like he is from the way he was kind of limping around the bases, jogging around the bases over the weekend in lovely Sacramento, then they're going to have to make some moves at the deadline. And they could use a lot of different positions. So there's the update as far as the Giants are concerned over the weekend. 2 of 3, very, very good. Now they're going to have to step it up. I mean, the competition is big. Dodgers, Phillies, Mets, they got some really big games before and then right after the All-Star break. So this is a huge stretch for the Giants. They did not take advantage of bad teams. Therefore, they've got to beat teams that you'd be like, can they take 2 of 3 for the Dodgers? Can they take, you know, it's going to be tough, but they got to do it. As far as the All-Stars are concerned, and this was the cover of the show today, Robbie Ray, we kind of knew after he pitched that complete game, it was like, okay, he's going. Logan Webb was a no-brainer. Let me show you something on Randy Rodriguez, and maybe you won't be amazed by this, but you should be, because if you're not a closer, it's hard to make the All-Star game. This is what the other players think of Randy Rodriguez. All right, these are player votes. All right, so this is what matters. This is your peers. Look at right there. That's the outfield. Come on, Lund, get your eyes working. Starting pitchers, you can see that. Skeens at the top, of course. Zach Wheeler's been awesome. So, look, there's Logan. So that makes a lot of sense. Logan should be out of crease sale, but whatever. All right, and now relief pitchers. All right, this is all of them. This is closers, whatever. Randy Rodriguez, 143. He topped them all, and he's not a closer. This isn't like setup guys. You know, they're not different. They're just saying relief pitchers, vote. Peers, these are players. Going that dude. But what it's basically saying is, that's the dude I don't want to face. That's the dude I don't want to face the most. These are votes by players. Randy Rodriguez, number one among the players. What is that telling you? First of all, can he please close? I know he tried in Colorado, and that's not the greatest place for a trial. Hey, let me close a game in Colorado. Good luck, Randy. But, you know, it's nothing against Duvall, and maybe Duvall, you know, craps in the eighth inning, and he needs that pressure. But, man, so many roller coaster rides this year with Camilo Duvall. All I'm saying is, if the players tell you he's the best relief pitcher in the National League, then maybe he should be closing. I don't know. That's just me. Call me crazy. So anyway, and you know, they pretty much get it right. Pete Alonso's been great at first base. Many people would say Freddie Freeman ahead of him, but he's been really, really good. So you can look on down the line. Like, they pretty much get it as far as the, you know, look at Pete Crow-Armstrong at the top. He's having a great year. Kyle Tucker, James Wood. Boy, thank God the Padres made that trade with the Juan Soto trade. But anyway, there you go. So there are the votes from the players, and Randy Rodriguez is seen as the best relief pitcher in the National League by his peers. So the fans, you know, I would never rip fans. It's their game. I hate honestly, I don't use hate a lot. You know that. But if, you know, I think the fans should be able to do whatever they want. It's their one game. And so when people bitch and moan, one of my pet peeves in all the sports is who got snubbed? Like the first thing they do, NBA and, you know, Major League Baseball, who got snubbed? How about who made it? How about celebrating the people who made it? The first headline is always who got snubbed. Like, whatever. You know, look, they're big rosters. Somebody gets snubbed, whatever. Usually it's rookies who haven't, you know, you got to establish yourself first, any kind of thing like that. Fans want to vote. I'm not bitching about that. They get one game. Can you give them one game? No, the fans screwed it up. They cunts. I hate that. But then you look at the peers and generally they're like, that's the dude. Especially when it comes to pitching. It's like, that's the dude I do not want to face. So that's pretty big. And the fact that he's got an 0.69 ERA. Yeah, that's nice. But anyway, very nice. As far as the getting three. As far as position players, like some people were complaining about Ramos, all that kind of stuff. Suzuki of the Cubs has, what, 77 RBI, something like that. He leads Major League Baseball, has 25 home runs, and he didn't make it. So you don't really have a case for Ramos. And their offense in general has sucked. So those three pitchers making it, that's awesome. That is really cool. Yeah, that's what I think, Joji. I think, look, Duvall, you got to be able to set up. Rodriguez is your best guy. And if peers are telling you, I don't want to face that guy, he should be your closer. But anyway, there you go. Let's see. What else we got going on? Hey, Nutter. Good to see you, man. It says you're not crazy. Well, a little bit. Should have been closing 2 months ago when Duvall. Yeah, Duvall just scares you. You know, he comes out and falls in love with a slider. And look, the guy's really good. But if you could have a 7-8-9, I'm not down with Walker right now. It's like, I don't know who's going to be instead. Rodgers. If you had a Rodgers, Duvall, Rodriguez, 7-8-9, I can live with that. But I still think they, with Miller going down, they can use another arm, especially from the left side. So, for a team that has been in it the whole time, they could use a number three starter. They could use an arm from the left side. They could definitely use either a first baseman or a second baseman. So, a lot of stuff. Hi, Antonio. Good to see you, my friend. Tommy is here this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So anyway, yeah, they're going to buy at the deadline. There's no question. They've already made their decision. Once you get Rafael Devers, you're not going to all of a sudden turn around and sell. They're not doing that. So anyway, there you go. All right, so there we are. Weekend in Sacramento. They take 2 of 3. Good bird song. Very nice. Much better. 5 walks, a little concerning, but better. Let me get to it. Is Adamas back? We haven't gotten that. So let me give you 2 things from Willie Adamas. One, hopefully you can see that. Can you see that? Hopefully you can. Let me know. All right. So his 2025 totals, 11 home runs, 45 RBIs, .226 batting average with a .684 OPS. That's not exactly what they paid for. However, we're just past the midway point. If you did double those numbers and you got a little bit better, 22 home runs, 90 RBIs. Could you live with that? Yeah, you could. Because last year was 32-112. He wasn't going to get those numbers here. If Willie Adamas bumped that up to maybe 25 home runs, but he knocked in 90, I'd be cool with that. I mean, that would be worth the contract. The .226 batting average needs to be up a little bit. I'd like to see him around .240. He's never had a high bat. He's never been a high batting average guy. And the OPS needs, you know, come on, man. You need to bump that up about 100 points. Honestly, it needs to be around 800. So, anyway, but that's the bad news. Here's the good news. Last 7 days, 1231 OPS. Last 14 days, 957. Last 28. So you look at the last 28. Let's do the biggest sample size. 6 home runs. We're looking at 105 plate appearances. We're looking at 86 at bats. 6 home runs in those 86 at bats. 19 RBIs, hitting .318 with a .957. Do I expect Willie Adamas to have a .957? No. But is Willie Adamas back? And I guess when I say back, he was pretty good in Milwaukee. He was pretty good in Tampa Bay. So we've seen this. There's a reason they signed him to the contract. And Buster Posey's going, okay, he's starting to settle in a little bit. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, it's probably home and road, right? He can't hit at Oracle Park. That's the problem. He can't hit at Oracle Park. Harold Reynolds, I told you this. Harold Reynolds did a piece on MLB Network, as I showed you, about a month ago. And what he did was he had an overlay of balls that would have been home runs in Milwaukee versus Oracle Park. And he was making this whole case that Oracle Park was screwing up Willie Adamas. And at the time, I just went and I looked at the home and road splits, and they were actually better on the road than they, or excuse me, better at home than they were on the road. And then I looked at them again this morning. And again, let's go home and away there at the bottom. All right. Fair amount. Got more at bats away. So it means he's got 7 home runs versus 4. He's got about, what, 40 more at bats? 34 to be exact. More at bats. So yeah, okay. You're going to have a little bit more home runs. But then look at this. 228, 224. Home is on the top. OPS, 674, 692. So it's a little bit different, but not really. I mean, that's not a huge difference. So he's home, away, whatever. He sucked both. Now, look, over the last month, he's been much, much better. But what I'm saying is, as a whole, it doesn't matter home or away. He just hasn't been very good. Now, I have a theory in home versus away, which I'll give you in just a second. Well, let's finish up on these numbers. So it really hasn't been a home and away thing. Difference in OPS, 692 to 674. Both are unacceptable for a guy that signed that kind of a contract. Where he's really struggling, he's a right-handed hitter. He's hitting 149 in 87 at-bats against left-handed pitching. That's got to change. You're a right-handed hitter. 149. So he's hitting 253 versus righties, 149 against left-handed pitching. 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, a lovely OPS of 487. That would make Lamont Wade Jr. look like a superstar. I mean, come on, man. You got to be better against left-handers. 753 OPS. It's still, again, that needs to be around 800. But okay. But 487 against left-handed pitching, that's the problem. It's not home versus away. If we just look into the numbers a little bit, those are similar. Left-handed pitching, no matter where it is, he's not hitting it. 149 against left-handed pitching. So give him his flowers. Much, much better lately, right? Much, much better. Last 28, which is 105, which is a decent amount, 88 at-bats. 6 home runs in those 88 at-bats, 19 and a 957. Much, much better over the last month. But left-handed pitching is killing this guy. So he's got to get better against left-handed pitching. That's not acceptable. So now you know the real story as far as Adames. Is he hitting better? Yeah. Have I ever been down on the contract? No. But philosophically, and I just showed you 674 versus 692 OPS, 674 at home, 692 on the road. It's not that big of a difference. I thought this last year, and I think this was some players who come to San Francisco and hit in Oracle Park. At the press conference for Rafael Devers, it wasn't a coincidence or it wasn't just happenstance that he kept saying when he was asked about the ballpark, because reporters asked him about 3 different ways, John Shea, and there was a number of others that asked, you know, about the ballpark. And Rafael Devers said again and again and again through his interpreter, ballpark doesn't matter. I can hit wherever it is. Doesn't matter what park. Doesn't matter if it's Grand Canyon. Doesn't matter if it's Fenway. And I adjusted my swing to hit off the monster. Whatever. Because he's saying as an athlete in his head, it isn't going to get in my head, this ballpark. And even though Willie Adames, like I said, hasn't been good at home, on the road, has been terrible against left-handed pitching, I think the park gets in your head. And so what you think is you have to adjust your swing to certain things, then you get on the road and you're not in that park. And it's just like the light finally went on, or somebody finally got to Willie Adames and said, forget the park and just hit. Forget the park and just hit. Because I think players come in here and they think to themselves, I got to do this. You know, Jorge Soler, I think, is a perfect example. I think the ballpark got in Jorge Soler's head and he couldn't get out of his head. And Farhan was like, got to get rid of him. Just got to get rid of him. Like, this isn't going to work. So I think he got in his head and he never could hit here, which then he took out on the road. He struggled. He was a DH, so he had no other outlet. It's not like he could play defense. And so I just think it was a major problem for him. They got rid of him. They saw it. I think the same thing has happened to Willie Adames to this point. And I think finally somebody got to him, or he got to himself, or started to relax, or whatever the case may be, because the park can get in your head. And so when Rafael Devers got here and kept saying it, because that's for his own psychology too. Ballpark's not going to change me. I'm one of the great hitters in this game. Ballpark is not going to change me. And you can see with Rafael Devers, like the double that he hit in lovely Sacramento, where he's just, the dude can rake. I mean, he's got his hit tool is just special. He can go oppo. He can go gap to gap. He can hit it at any park. You've hardly seen him really pull the ball as far as with power. He's trying to go the other way with it. So he's just decided, look, I hit. That's just what I do. And so it's not going to affect him. Whether he's off to a slow start or not, it's pretty much irrelevant. He doesn't care. He's got a ton of confidence. He's one of the few guys in baseball that he'll come into this park and he'll just tell himself, the park doesn't matter. park doesn't matter. So for him, he's just, that's the mentality he came to the park with and came to the Giants with. Park isn't going to matter. I think he got into Adames' head early. And whether it was on at home, whether it was on the road, whatever, he was messing with his swing and he got frustrated and it just kind of started to go on each other. Now all of a sudden, he's on a nice, in 100 at bats is a nice number. He's at 88, I should say, over the last 28 days, hitting about 319 with a 957 OPS. And I think he settled in. So either somebody said something, he settled in. Maybe it was Pat Burrell, whomever the case may be, just said, stop worrying about the park. So just a thought. Can he continue to do this? I'll just say, look, not Devers, not whatever they do at first base or second base, not Chapman, not Bailey being decent. Willy Adames is the key to the offense. Because I know what Devers is going to do. I know what Chapman's going to do. I pretty much know what Ramos is going to do. I know what Yaz is going to do. Like certain guys, it's like, okay, I know what you do. Willy Adames was brought here to be a middle-of-the-order hitter and has been anything but. He's been like a number eight hitter for the majority of the year. So if Adames is what they paid for, and Devers is going to be Devers, and I know what Chapman's going to be, and all of a sudden, yeah, there's still some question marks, and I know what Ramos is going to be. There's question marks around Lee. I don't know what the hell's going on. Around the deadline, I would be absolutely floored if they didn't either address first base or second base. And I, like I said when I was showing you that thing, look, they just need average production out of second base. Guy who can have an OPS of like 730. Just don't be what they are. Because right now, and I showed you this a couple of weeks ago, the OPS per position, they were second to last at second base. They were last at first base. They were last at catching. They're going to keep Bailey in the lineup, at least for this season. So they've got to find something. Like I said, I don't think Devers is playing first base anytime soon. And that early season Flores stuff, yeah, that magic's gone. I mean, it's okay. You know, don't get me wrong. I didn't expect anything out of Flores. Remember last year, 4 home runs, 23 RBIs, was hurt a lot of the year. I didn't expect anything out of him. So what he's given the Giants to this point is all gravy at this point. So it's nice having him around. Don't get me wrong. He's been really, really clutch this year. But am I going to count on him in the second half to play the way he played in the first half? I doubt it. And he's going to have to play some more first base. So second base, I have a real target on my – I'm looking at it. To rely on Casey Schmidt, I don't think so. You got to get somebody who's more – you got to get at least average production out of first and second base in the second half. I mean, that's all there is to it. You cannot – they've been an absolute joke at first and second base. And for them to stay in it this long with that, with these issues, and now some injuries with Eric Miller's, you know, so they got to make some moves. There's no doubt. But I'm not down on them at all. So weekend in SAC, All-Stars is Adames back, Miller hurt. That's just a killer. He's been amazing. He's been a solid left-hander, but this year he's just taking it to another level. So you look at Miller and Duvall, and hopefully Walker can get out of his own head in the second half. You're like, that's a really nice core of your bullpen. But now Miller's down. Now Walker's iffy. Duvall's a roller coaster ride. It's like, okay, what are we doing here? They might have to add an arm. And that's, like I said, the easiest thing to do at the deadline. Trade names I already gave you. So if you just jumped in a little bit late at the beginning of the show, I did play with those trade names for you. I kind of went out of order here. I apologize for that. So I have thrown some trade names, but I'll just say this again. Reliever, if I put it in an order, first base or second base, they both can't be a black hole because you've got a black hole at catcher. So one of those has to be addressed. Third starter? I mean, did you have enough confidence yesterday in what Hayden Birdsong did? I still don't. I'd love it if Birdsong was the four. You know, you got two all-stars in Ray and Webb. If you had a third solid starter, and I'm asking for a lot, I realize that I'm being, you know, I'm asking for probably more than the Giants could ever do, but could you get a quality third starter and then maybe first or second base, one or the other, not going to get both? I think you could. Second base especially. There's a couple of guys out there that wouldn't cost you much. Yeah, the whole Casey Schmidt thing is I've got the I got the cards. I went heavy on him. And it's Mike Holler's fault, and you can tell him that. Mike Holler, who runs KNBR, he was down doing the A-ball Giants, San Jose Giants. I don't know if he does that anymore, but he was doing tech stuff for it. And I was talking to him, and he goes, man, this guy Casey Schmidt, he's got some power. He's got a great glove. He's got a good future second-round pick, San Diego State. I knew who he was. And I said, all right, man. And so I went heavy because he wasn't hitting, and all of a sudden, man, in San Jose just started raking, knocking the ball out of the yard. Awesome. So I went heavy and got a bunch of cards and signed cards and rares and all that kind of stuff. So I probably have, I don't know, 25 Casey Schmidt cards. And so I always made jokes that, you know, he's going to put my kid through college when my kid's a senior at Arizona State. So that's too late. But, you know, I still have kind of held the cards. What am I going to do? Sell them? So anyway, maybe he can come around. But I don't trust it. That's all. I'm not going to do the what-if game at second base. They got to get somebody who can be solid at one of those positions. And look, maybe it's going to be Devers who gets healthy over the All-Star break, and then Wilmer can be your DH, and then you got a second baseman. Now you're cooking with gas. But right now, the way that Devers is moving around, I don't see him playing first base anytime soon. So anyway, before I move on to some NBA stuff, and I got some really good stuff for you, and by the way, I keep selling this Caboose throwback at the end of the show. Do not miss the end of the show today. That's all I'm going to tell you. Hey, Max, what's going on, man? Good to see you. That's a good point. Never trust San Jose numbers. That's a good point. But, you know, like I said, I was like, what the heck? And it, you know, if you wait until the guy is known, and then it's like, well, then you can't get the cards. So I got him at a pretty good price. Don't get me wrong. All right. So we'll get some NBA in just a second. Any thoughts, questions, comments on the weekend, on All-Stars, on Adamas, on Miller being hurt, on trade pieces, anything that I've discussed so far in regards to the Giants to start out the show? Let's see. Will Yaz or Wilmer get traded? I doubt it. Wilmer's not getting traded because even if they put Devers at first base, they'll need a DH. Plus, who's trading for Wilmer? I don't think so. Yaz would be a great fourth outfielder, and I would love it. I always say this, but Yaz really isn't the problem at this point. It's been so overshadowed by Bailey, first base and second base being inept at those positions this year offensively, that Yaz is actually having an offensive season. So I'm not really complaining about him because he's really good defensively. In a perfect world, okay, you solve first base, you solve second base, and then you start looking at right field as kind of a sore spot, you do. But given how bad first, second base, and catching has been as far as offense, they've got to address those things. Now, if they could get like a really good right fielder, yeah, but I don't think that's their right now. Like I said, third starter, reliever from the left side, and first or second base, I think that's ahead of first of right field, unless they could get somebody that was just a no-brainer. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? All right, what else? Anything else on the baseball front? Okay, that's good. Anything else? Questions, comments, thoughts? By the way, if you are here later, just hit the comments right underneath me or hit me up on X at John Lund Radio. I did see the Turpin thing. I guess he just had some weed, right? Yeah, no big deal. You know, I don't know how big of a deal it is. But anyway, yeah, that's not great. I'm not saying it's great. Oh, Scott, what a great question. Can I just tell you something? Let me break and do a random real quick, and then we'll get – this is a perfect spot anyway, because then we'll hit on some NBA trade stuff. We're down on episode 184, Weekend in Sac, All-Stars, Isadamas back, Miller hurt, trade names. So that's where we are. And let's we'll take a quick break, and then we'll move on to the NBA. Saturday we talked about this, but I got an update on it. So I did two big fat tri-tips for July 4th that were absolutely great. And then I got a suggestion for you. If you do leftovers or anything, if you still got some stuff from July 4th, what I did was I took the tri-tip and I chopped it. I chopped it all up for a tri-tip sandwich for tri-tip, but I did chop tri-tip, not just like layers of it. So I throw it in a big pan, and I put some A1 in there and some barbecue sauce that had a little bit of kick to it, a little garlic, all that kind of stuff. And I make this, you know, kind of thing. And then what I did, I know this is going to sound crazy, but we've been doing this for a long time. You can buy this. It's broccoli slaw. And I'm not a coleslaw fan, but what I do is I take the broccoli. My sister taught me this one. So you take some broccoli slaw and you put in a little bit of apple cider vinegar for some kick. And then you take, there's a blue cheese dressing that they make that's a vinaigrette blue cheese. That's awesome. So you put that in there and then you put some blue cheese crumbles. And I know this is going to sound crazy. They almost look like raisins, whatever the hell that is out of the bag. You throw that in there a little bit, slight slivered almonds, and you make this kind of a slaw thing, but it's doesn't taste like coleslaw. It's like blue cheese in there. So the blue cheese with the tri-tip, it's like a slaw. So you get these torpedo rolls, basically big sausage rolls, whatever you like, because you can put a bunch of stuff in them. Don't get like a hamburger bun because it'll all fall out. So you get one of those like torpedo rolls so you can hold a bunch of stuff in it. And you put the slaw down, you put the tri-tip down, the barbecue tri-tip, throw that in there, melt a piece of, oh, I forgot. Then I put the, rolls in the broiler and I put, provolone cheese on them, just melt the provolone cheese on there. So it's provolone torpedo roll with the slaw and the barbecue tri-tip. So good. So good. So if you got leftovers, probably from the 4th, it's probably too late. What are we, 3 days past? But I just chopped it all up. Not too fine, you know, but, you know, not bad. Throw it in the pan, mix it with the barbecue, a little bit of A1, give it a little kick, a little garlic powder, and throw it all together. Man, it was so good. So good. He's like, do I have to put the slaw on it? I'm like, come on, man. Cooking with gas over here. Let's go. So, yeah, thanks for asking. It was very, very good. I've got another bit of a random I can go off on right now, but I'm not going to. Hi, Joe Schmo. Good to see you. I might as well do it right now. Yeah, 3 days left. I think it's still good because we do have some tri-tip left, and I think I'm going to chop up the rest of it too. It was really, really good. Really, really good. One quick thing. Might as well just do it right now before we get into NBA stuff. You know, things that you don't buy. I mean, this is totally out of left field, but things that you don't buy. Things that are cheap that you don't buy. Number one on the list is toilet paper. I'm sorry to say this if you're eating or having your morning coffee or whatever. So my wife, because normally we go to Costco, and we did go to Costco and get it because I was like, we can't do this. You go to Costco and get the toilet paper and the paper towels, right? I mean, every time. Much cheaper, much better. Then you got a bunch of stuff. They're just sitting in the garage. You go grab them, whatever. So you got to get toilet paper and paper towels from Costco. And the thing is, the Costco toilet paper is good. Like, it's not single ply. I feel like right now at my house, I'm staying in a Motel 6. Because my wife went out and got, because we were short, she went out and just grabbed it at Safeway, actually had it delivered because she doesn't go to Safeway. She had it, whatever, not DoorDash, but you know what I mean. She just had somebody grab whatever, and you can't do that. And so they grabbed the one ply, whoever it was who did the shopping for her grabs the one ply. And it's like, are you kidding? I feel like I'm at a Motel 6. So we have to chuck all that and bring in the stuff that we got from Costco. Cause we're like, what are we doing? Like, I understand, like, if times are tough or whatever like that, you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, during the pandemic, it was like everyone ran out and bought toilet paper. Remember that? Doesn't that seem like that didn't really happen? Like, wait a minute. I just went to the grocery store and there's no toilet paper. And my wife bought one ply and was like, are you kidding me? Like, it's like, it is seriously, I'm not going to say literally because it's not literally, but it's a lot like, it's like sandpaper. It's like sand. Like, it's like, are you kidding me? Anyway, something you don't buy cheap. If you'd like to start that, we can do that. But toilet paper is number one. Number one. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I don't know what, like I said, if she would have went and got it, she wouldn't have bought that, but she has everything delivered, you know? She has whoever the person was doing the shopping for her, just like, whatever, this isn't my family. Yeah. Rotisserie chicken is solid. Yeah. Costco stuff, man. Rotisserie chicken, healthy stuff. Tri-tip booze. So you can get the big ones. Like, I know stuff's expensive right now. If you're not going to if you're trying to save a little bit of money and you're not going to Costco, come on, man. Even if it's just a couple of you got to do it. Yeah. No, 100%. I could not agree with you more. I never understood people having employees pick their fruit and vegetables for delivery. Yeah, they don't care. They're making money, and time is money for them. So they're just like throwing whatever into the cart. Like, they don't care. It's not their food. It's not their bruised vegetables. It's not their one ply toilet paper. They don't care. They're like, I don't have to use this stuff. Anyway, all right. That's a good breaking point. All right, a couple of random things happening throughout. I just had to bring that up because that happened to me this morning. I'm like, I literally yelled at my wife. I go, I feel like I'm at a Motel 6. She laughed. I wasn't kidding. All right. What else do we got? All right. Anything. Yeah, I know. That's exactly what happened, Folsom Steve. That's exactly what happened. Like, I walk, especially with my wife, like, you can't take her. Like, first of all, she has everything delivered. So she very rarely goes. But we had to go to Costco on, was it July 3rd or the 4th? We didn't go on the 4th. They're not open on the 4th. But we went on the 3rd to get the tri-tip. And then, so all we were going to get was, I think, tri-tip and a couple other small things. We ended up, I think we spent $410. I think it was $410, I think is what it was. All sorts of different drinks. We only got, I think, booze-wise, did we get any booze? Oh, we might have got some seltzers or something. But I mean, we didn't get like big bottles of booze or anything like that. I was just like, just throwing stuff in. And I had to like get her out of there. Like she was going down the aisle. I was like, well, we need this. And it was like these gigantic things and, you know, like a peanut butter or something. And I'm like, when are we ever going to eat that? Like never. So anyway, yeah, we could have done easily another 100 or more. So she never goes to the grocery store, but then like if you take her to Costco, good night. I mean, it's just, well, we need this. Well, we got to have that. We need this. We got to have that. It was like, oh my God. And we don't have any room for it. Like our freezer is just jacked. And then I went to the fridge in the garage and was like, that thing's now jacked. It's like, okay, we got to stop. Like we seriously got to stop. All right, let's get off the random stuff. Let's get back onto the freeway here. And what else do we got? Anything? Yeah, Costco with a 1942 Don Julio. That's a good call. Love Don Julio. I got to be honest. Yeah, Bay Area has Sam's Club. I don't think it's as prevalent as Costco, but yeah, there's Sam's Clubs around. let's see. What else do we got? Just the tip. Very nice. All right, let's move on. All right, that was nice. That was fun. All right, let's get to the NBA. So there was an NBA trade today that I think is interesting in that maybe it affects the Warriors. Maybe it has no bearing, but stay with me on this for a second. So Clippers, Jazz, and Heat, three-way trade. I love the Heat side of this. Norman Powell's a nice player. I don't know why the Clippers are trading him, but I'll tell you my theory in just a second. So Heat get Norman Powell. Clippers get John Collins, who's been an albatross around the Jazz's neck for a long time. They have no reason to have John Collins. He's an overrated player in my mind. Not good defensively for his size, not a great rebounder. Can shoot it a little bit. He's got some offensive game, but I'm not a huge fan. So the Clippers get Collins, lose Powell. Jazz are in rebuild mode, so they get Kevin Love, who's probably going to retire. Kyle Anderson still got 2 years left on his deal, which is weird. He's one of those guys. He's making like $9 million a year for the next 2 years. He's like loving it. And then the Clippers' second-round pick. But what this tells me is everybody's waiting for Giannis, right? I told you this. There's like a logjam. The Lakers waited as long as they could. And then they got DeAndre Ayton, which is not going to be a great signing, I don't think. But we'll see. So they get some size. They needed it. They were one of the few teams in the West, actually the two teams, the Warriors and the Lakers, who needed size. So the Lakers decided we can't wait on Giannis anymore, or they got intel that he was going to stay with the Bucks, which may be the case. And so they decided, okay, let's just do our business, and they get Ayton. The Heat were the other team that were like, is Giannis going to opt out? He's got to opt out in Milwaukee, right? Either they got intel or they got sick of waiting. So they move basically nothing, and they get a free Norman Powell. But so they've made their move. Now, there's a discussion right now that Bradley Beal is going to go to the Clippers, and the Collins move saves the Clippers a little bit of money. So Collins goes there. He's not as good as Powell. Powell fit really well with the Clippers. But the Clippers are thinking maybe they get John Collins, and then Bradley Beal is going to get bought out in Phoenix. And I know that some people have said he'd be a good Warrior. I don't think so. He plays exactly zero defense. He's undersized. He was terrible in Phoenix. That's one of the worst trades that Phoenix has ever made. The Bradley Beal trade was just awful. But he would be good in the sense that if he's, I don't know, sixth or seventh man off the bench. So Collins would go to the Clippers, and there's talk that Beal's going to go to the Clippers. So Collins and Beal to the Clippers. And then, you know, the Jazz, whatever. But my point in saying this is, okay, the Clippers made their moves. The Heat decided we can't win any longer on Giannis. That's our move, getting Norman Powell, which is a nice move for them. So all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at Norman Powell, who's underrated, and that whole group in again, in the Eastern Conference, that thing is wide open. So not a bad move. Maybe they could make more. They were in on the Bradley Beal, but I read this morning that now they're hard cap, so they probably are done with their moves. So that really leaves just the Warriors, who have done exactly nothing as far as free agency is concerned. But the Warriors are this is just my logic, right? And it could be flawed. It often is, but I don't think it is in this case. The Warriors are looking around the Western Conference and they're saying, Oklahoma City's better than us. Houston has passed us. Denver, we'll see what happens with Valanciunas, but it looks like he is going to stay with Denver. He was going to go overseas, but Valanciunas, a nice add and more size for Denver. They made a few nice moves in moving Porter and getting Cam Johnson. And with that money, they made some moves. So I like what Denver did. The Lakers, I don't know. I don't love Ayton, but okay, they did something. San Antonio is really young. For some reason, I just think it's time for them to make their move. They need another veteran, but we'll see. So there's a number of teams in the Western Conference that are better than the Warriors right now. and they're in this 2-year window. So all of a sudden you're looking at the Warriors going, okay, well, they could sign Al Horford. And let me go down to the Horford part of this. NBA trades, Horford not the answer. It's not that I don't like Al Horford. He's fine, but he's 39 years old. So Al Horford's going to give you what? Maybe 18 to 20 minutes a night? Like, everybody's acting like Al Horford's going to be this big savior. Like, Al Horford was just drafted. Dude was drafted in 05. Like, he's a nice player off the bench. Yes, he's a stretch big, which is what they need, but he's not going to play tons of minutes. And in the playoffs, maybe he'll play 15, 20 minutes. I mean, that's what he played in Boston. And Boston doesn't want him back at all. And so what does that tell you? Like, they're not even trying. So, and if Al Horford really loved the Warriors, wouldn't he have signed by now? Now, maybe the Warriors are playing some sort of a dance and they're saying, hang on, Al, we love you, but hang on a minute. And the reason I'm saying this is because I think that the Warriors have said, look, there's a lot of teams ahead of us in the West. And I think they've got to be thinking what I'm thinking, which is dangerous for them, which is, okay, we add Al Horford. Does that change our standing in the West whatsoever? I'll answer my own question. Hell no, it doesn't. Al Horford, great. You're 6th in the West with him. You're 6th in the West without him. Maybe you're 7th. I forgot Dallas is pretty good now, too, depending on how good Cooper Flagg is. But they're not going to have Kyrie maybe the whole year. So maybe Dallas isn't better. But still, there's a lot of good teams there. So maybe you're 6th in the West. Well, if I'm Joe Lacob, I didn't pay all this money. I didn't pay Jimmy Butler and go over the cap and go over the end of the tax again so I could be 6th. And Al Horford's not changing that outlook. So why not just sit back and say, okay, we can get Al Horford at any point. He could go to the Lakers and back up, you know, get the backup minutes from DeAndre Ayton. He's a different kind of a player. He's going to go out to three-point land. And they're two different players. Horford and Ayton could coexist on the same team. They're that different as far as bigs. And if you look across the Western Conference, it's not just one big. Look at Minnesota. Look at Oklahoma City. Look at Denver now, if Valanciunas stays, which I think he's going to. All these teams have multiple bigs. That's what's giving the Warriors problems. They don't even have one. Like, Draymond Green's got to play the 5. Best of luck with that. They don't need one. They need 2. So L.A., the Lakers could be looking at 2 going, hey, I mean, look at the Clippers. They just added Brook Lopez, and they've already got Zubats. So everybody's adding not just 1, but 2, and the Warriors have none. So adding Hal Horford, great. What are you going to do with the other minutes? I mean, Draymond can play some 5, but he's going to burn out by the end of the year. So they need probably 2 bigs. Now Horford could be 1. But the Warriors look at the Western Conference going, okay, if we just add Horford, we're probably 6th, maybe worse. Why not just wait and see what Giannis does? Because everybody else has kind of said, we can't wait anymore. So either Intel said he's staying in Milwaukee, or they just couldn't wait. So Miami made their move. The Clippers have made their move. The Lakers have made their move. All these teams that it was rumored to, all of a sudden there's not a lot of teams standing going, we'll just wait. And I don't blame the Warriors. Everybody's like, go do something, do something, do something. Don't do something for the sake of doing something. That's stupid. Teams do that all the time, and they always regret it. And these contracts are guaranteed. So you sign somebody, and it's a stupid signing. That's on you. Look at Bradley Beal and the Suns. Sorry. Oh, we want to trade for Jimmy Butler. Sorry, I'm not waiving my no trade. So these guys, like, you're stuck with a guy. You're married. It's an arranged marriage. That's the way it goes. These contracts are guaranteed. Good luck. And there's a cap. So best of luck with that. So the Warriors are just sitting back going, let's just wait. Let's just wait. And if it doesn't work out, fine. We're going to be 6th anyway. Okay, we get Al Horford. It's not going to change the equation. Giannis, that's different. I mean, you're going to change the whole makeup of your team if it's Giannis. So, look, I think the Warriors are just sitting back going, maybe Giannis says something. And maybe they have intel to Giannis that through all those years that we've talked about Giannis and all the rumors that he wanted to come to the Warriors, maybe that is the case. So, I don't blame the Warriors for sitting back and being the last team standing that hasn't done anything, waiting on what Giannis does. Now, sounds like good strategy in theory, right? In reality, this is a video from Giannis on a boat somewhere, probably Greece or something, over the weekend, and he doesn't look like he's in a hurry to make any kind of a decision. Maybe I'm wrong. You tell me. Yeah, he doesn't look like he's in any hurry to make any kind of a decision. Like, the rest of the NBA is like, dude, like, you're holding everything up. Could you, something? You staying or you going? What are you doing? He's like, nah, man. Nah. I'm not making any decisions. Are you kidding me? I'm hanging out. Like, that's your problem, man. I'm having an offseason. I'll decide when I decide. So teams probably saw that video. Miami saw that video and went, well, we could get Norman Powell now because we're just not going to wait on Giannis. So anyway, why not? swing for the fences. So that's what I think on Giannis. I mean, he's not clearly not in a rush. But like I said, Horford doesn't really do anything for me. That's fine. He's not a bad player. I'm not saying that. It's just at 39, I'm sorry that I don't think that Al Horford is going to answer all the questions for the Warriors. Well, he's got size. He's a stretch. I get it. I get it. I have no issue with Al Horford. It's nothing against Al Horford. He's 39-year-old Al Horford, which, you know, again, the Golden Age Warriors. He'll add more to it. So better get another trainer. No problem. But anyway, yeah, point is, he's not in a hurry. He doesn't look like he's in a hurry, does he? God, I got to make that decision. Am I going to stay? Am I going to go? You know what? I think I'm going to go on a boat and hang out. Well, the rest of us are like, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Shams like, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? I don't know. He's partying on a boat. I'd be doing the same thing. I'll make the decision on my time. Anyway. Dame's situation is incredible. What the contract situation with Dame is, their team that signs him basically got to pay the first season for a guy. No. Here's what's awesome about Dame, Mark. Damian Lillard's situation is the Bucks are paying him. All right. So there's two different things. They owe him 2 years and $110 million or something like that. So he's getting that money in the 2 years. It's going to be elongated because there's a rule in the NBA they can do it. They're going to do it over 5 years at $22 million a year hit, which I'm honest, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and they did that for Miles Turner. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a team do. Honestly, it's one of the dumbest things. Miles Turner's okay. If the Warriors would have gotten him, I'd be like, okay. But again, yeah, he would have changed their fortunes a little more than Al Horford, but not much. You saw him in the finals. He was just okay. He's a nice player, can defend, run the floor. He can do some lob stuff, good three-point shooter. He's okay. He's not. I don't think he's going to change any fortunes. But Milwaukee decided because we want him, we're going to take 5 years of Dame's contract, let him go, and get hit on the cap for 5 years at $22 million. We're going to self-impose that. 22 a season for Miles Turner. I don't think that's a good move. And they're going to regret it. Absolutely. And I'm sure Giannis is going, what are we doing? Like, you think that's going to bring me back, like a Miles Turner move at the cost of $22 million on the cap for the next 5 years? He's 30. So he's going, no, I don't think that's going to do anything for him. In fact, it might have the opposite effect of what they thought it was going to do. So there's that. But okay, you asked about Dame. Here's what's great about Dame. The contract gets offset. So Dame, you know, I saw a rumor the other day that people fell for that, like, Dame was getting like $19 million a year from somebody. There's no point to that. So he's going to go to his new team. He's going to make the veteran minimum because the money that he makes gets offset. So he could get $20 million from his new team. He could get $1 million from his new team. It's getting offset. He gets the same amount of money either way. So that why would the team that he's going to, why would he burden them with more money? He's not making any more money. It's all an offset from the Bucks. And you're not going to pay Dame Lillard at this point, especially when he's on rehab for a year, like you said, more money than what the contract for the Bucks says over the next 2 years, which is 50 plus million. You're going to pay him the veterans minimum. That way it has the least amount of impact on your cap. And Damian Lillard's going, yeah, I don't want to impact my new team. And I'm not making a dime. No matter what they pay me, all that money's offset by the Bucks. So whether team A, Warriors, let's just say, pays me $1 million or $10 million, there's an offset and I'm getting my money from the Bucks. All that money comes from the Bucks. If it's $1 million from the Warriors, then the other $54 million is coming from the Bucks. If it's $10 million from the Warriors, then it's $44 million from the Bucks. It's just, so it's all offset. So he's going to take the least amount of money he possibly can, the veterans minimum, from whoever he signs with, and then the Bucks are going to pay the contract out anyway, and he's going to get his money. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, he's not getting a ton of money. So there was a, you know, the NBA Central, and then it's NBA Central or something, and they, you know, or there's a fake Shams and all that. Somebody said he was going to sign somewhere for like $19 million. It's like, he's never going to do that. He's going to sign for the veterans minimum to minimize the hit on his new team, and the Bucks pay the rest. And it's just an offset. So that makes sense. All right. What else do we got? So Horford, not the answer. NBA trades. Horford, not the answer. Giannis, no rush, clearly, as I just showed you, him partying on a boat in Greece or something. So there's the latest on that. Going to hit up some Niners stuff as we're getting closer and closer to camp, just a couple of weeks to get away. So let me see here. Anything else? Somebody's talking about gas station sushi? No, I don't care. I've seen that stuff on like Diners, Drive-Ins and whatever it is with Guy Fieri. And I don't care if it's great. Gas station sushi is gas station sushi, and you're asking for it. I'm telling you right now. Let's see. What else? Okay. That's it as far as the NBA is concerned today. 49ers revenge. This is going to be really fun this year. I don't know why I get this sense. Maybe I'm wrong, but we got to add a little 49ers to the show. And then I'll be down at 49ers HQ once camp starts. But I'm not one of those guys that's going to sit here and try to bullshit you if there's nothing going on with the 49ers. This is the dead part of the year. It's NBA free agency still. If I had any coming news, I'd give it to you. There's not any. I'm not going to just throw stuff against the wall to throw stuff against the wall. There's nothing going on with the Niners right now. But what is happening is, what I think is funny, is it's, I get this sense that they're going to have this revenge tour. Last year, they went 6-11. We clearly know this isn't a 6-11 team. I saw a list, which you know I love. Lists and Mount Rushmore is just, I love them. No, I don't. And so, if you're new around here. So, I saw all these lists and everything. And they don't have Kyle Shanahan as a top 10 coach. They don't have, you know, whatever. Now, look, George Kittle is going to be the number one tight end. So ESPN is doing this version. They roll it out every day because there's nothing going on in the NFL. And it's personnel people, and they're ranking each position. And they started with running backs yesterday. So I don't know what everybody else has to see, but Christian McCaffrey looks healthy to me. But obviously, at the running back position, if you get closer to 30 than 25, then people start telling you, So this is the top 10 running backs according to – this isn't ESPN. This isn't an ESPN dumb list. This isn't a Screamin' A dumb list. This is personnel people. And I love this stuff. Before I show you this, just for the heck of it, all right? Just indulge me for just a second. Everybody wants, and I don't know why this is. This is a fandom thing. I'm the same way. But everybody wants people to say nice things about their players, all right? I don't care if it's college, pro. I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer, lacrosse. People love stuff, right? They want you to come on, say nice stuff about my guy. It's not college football. You don't need rankings, right? Preseason rankings, all that. There's no rankings don't matter. They actually at the professional level in every sport, they actually have playoffs. And so it doesn't matter what anybody says or thinks or what anybody's list is. I don't know why people get so pissed off over lists, but what it does is it motivates a player. All right. So you want your team to be underrated, not overrated. You want people not talking about your team because then you can sneak up on people. Now you're the Niners. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. But Christian McCaffrey is going to see this list and go, okay. So remember, a year ago, he was the offensive player of the year. They went to the Super Bowl and stuff. Now Saquon Barkley has the year he does. Philly wins the Super Bowl. He's what Christian McCaffrey was a year ago. You want to be underrated. And I just get this sense that like the Niners are sitting back going, cool. All right. So this is what personnel people said are the top 10 running backs. Saquon Barkley, have no issue with it. Derrick Henry had a hell of a year. Now you're getting into really Jahmyr Gibbs over Christian McCaffrey. Great player. Guy can do it all. Part of a great thunder and lightning in Detroit, really. Bijan Robinson, really nice player. But there's McCaffrey at 5 going, okay, you want to put me at 5? That's fine. Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, James Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara. Good backs. You can't say that he's better than Barkley right now because of the season Barkley's coming off. Henry had a great year. I'd probably put him at 3. 5 and 3, what's the difference? It'll make a hell of a difference to Christian McCaffrey. That's all I'm saying. And look, these are personnel people. They know their shit a lot more than I do, but I'm just simply saying that this is going to be a reoccurring theme throughout this season. Kyle's, he's not a top 10 coach anymore. Kittle's going to be the number one tight end. Warner's going to be the number one linebacker. Bosa's probably going to be underrated. Maybe same kind of a situation. Watch him. He'll be like 5th. And he'll be like, okay, we'll see. I just think a lot of these guys are going to have a bounce back year. I think you add the schedule on top of this thing. And I think the 49ers, I just think we're going to go into this season. And I could be 100% wrong. I think they're going 11 or 12 games. And I think they're going to be a big pain in the ass. Now, a lot of it has to do with Robert Saleh. Offensively, they're going to score points. I'm a little worried about the offensive line. They are thin. There's no doubt. Defensively, they're counting on a lot of young guys, especially along that defensive line. And let me just be the first to say, so maybe I'm being contradictory when I say this, Mikel Williams had the fewest amount of snaps of any edge rusher coming into out of the draft. Fewest. He was drafted at 20 years old. One of the reasons they brought in Bryce Huff, and Bryce Huff is not a three-down guy. He's an edge rusher screaming off the edge like a bat out of hell. So Mikel Williams was better as an edge setter than he was as a rusher. So he makes a lot of sense. And he might get 5 sacks this year, maybe. I could be 100% wrong, but I don't expect a lot of pass rush production out of Mikel Williams. Again, he's very inexperienced. So to expect him to all of a sudden get 10 sacks, I don't see it. But I could see him maybe getting five sacks and being really good off the edge. And then Bryce Huff comes in on the passing downs and they move Mikel Williams inside and they have a NASCAR package. I could see that. But I would just be careful with Mikel Williams at the age of 20. With the fewest amount of edge snaps coming out in the draft, a really young player. Think about quarterbacks. And I'm not saying he's going to be Trey Lance. What I'm saying is we see at the quarterback position, wow, you don't have a lot of experience. It's going to take you a year. You got to go through this whole process. So why would we think it'd be any different with Mikel Williams? Could be 100% wrong. But I'm saying they got a lot of young guys that they need to step up defensively, especially in the secondary, which I'm a little nervous at the safety position. But I still think that the Niners, given all that, you know, everyone's kind of counting them out and everybody's talking about, I get it. You're talking about the Eagles and you're talking about the Lions and you're talking about the Rams and you're talking about the Packers. That's fine. This is where you want the Niners to be. You want ESPN to put McCaffrey as the fifth rated running back. I hope they put Brock Bowers as the top tight end. I hope they put Trent Williams fifth among tackles. I hope they put Fred Warner. Well, they won't. Fred Warner's just the best linebacker, period. So they won't do that. But I would love it if he was like third. Like they'd just be like, okay, revenge tour. Which I think they're going to do anyway because 6-11, nobody's really talking about them. And like I said, with this schedule, now they got to have health. That's the one thing. They are really thin. They are really thin. And we're already seeing that with like the safeties and everything. Yeah, exactly, Joe. And their depth, that's the one thing. As I look at a lot of things and I look at the schedule and all those things, if they have some injuries, which you're always going to have injuries, it's in the NFL, but if they have average health, what I call average health, I think they're going to be fine. But if they don't, could be trouble. And they're going to rely on a lot of rookies, which is not great anyway. So let's start talking about the Niners. We're getting close to camp. So the people that are in the know say that, again, this is not an ESPN list. It's published by ESPN, but it's people in the league say Christian McCaffrey is the fifth rated running back. He doesn't need additional motivation, but he'll see that and go, okay, we'll see. We'll see. This guy keeps beating the Niners in Super Bowls. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, I look like that. Maybe I don't have big as arms as that, but I mean, you know, I mean, that's July 4th. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, he just doesn't care. He's just, I'm just going to sling touchdowns, man. And I'm the best quarterback in the game, and I'll drink and eat whatever I want. That's July 4th. Seriously, he looks like a dude. He looks like a dude that just got done with the barbecue and drank like 18 beers and had a couple of burgers and dogs and didn't worry about really anything. He just beat you. It's unbelievable. Dad bod. But what are you going to do? It works for him. Like, like people could say that all they want. Like, dad bod. And he's like, yep, dad bod. I just burned your team for four touchdowns. Unbelievable. That's what he does. All right, 49ers revenge. Dad bod. That's what we are in this whole thing. I am going to go on an Ozzy Oasis thing. And the Caboose throwback today is outstanding. Let me make sure I haven't missed anything to this point. Giannis, I played for you. The last two things are to do with the Caboose pistol. I already played Adamus. We talked about that. We talked a ton of Giants. So if you missed our Giants talk, which was at the beginning of the year, beginning of the show, All-Stars, Adamus, Miller, Hurt, all that. Two things you could do. Go back to the beginning of the show, or we'd like you to hang. So I'll put up the chapters a little bit later. And again, we'll put this up on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast to make sure. So that's that. All right. Let's get to the Ozzy Oasis thing. I don't know if you, like I said, maybe you're into it. Maybe you're not. I like all kinds of music. I just thought over the weekend, and this is what's great about the internet. Like you could basically watch the whole show. So if you didn't know, it was called Back to the Beginning. It was in Birmingham, England. Ozzy's from there, like a stone's throw. And all these classic, not only bands, but just like guys came by themselves. And like Metallica was there and Guns N' Roses was there. But then like, you know, just Steven Tyler shows up and he's doing, you know, Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. Or I mean, just Jack Black was doing, you know, it was unbelievable. He did Mr. Crowley. Like people are going crazy. Tons of people. It was incredible. So I'm not as big of an Oasis guy, but I get it. You know, the Gallagher twins or Gallagher brothers or whatever the case may be, they hate each other and they do stuff. And so I saw a video from that. In fact, I think our friend Johnny LeMaster, Sons of Johnny LeMaster was there and all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty cool. But I got to say that the backdrop on Ozzy obviously is, as you know, he's abused his body. Everybody knows that. And the Osbournes, whatever. But, I mean, I'm not telling anybody, but they don't know. But he has severe dementia. Severe dementia. He's like 76 years old. And if Ozzy's 76 and the abuse that he's made to his body, I mean, he's like 176. And so I don't know what they did. And he didn't sound amazing as far as, but the fact that they could put him on a throne and he could sing even at all, given his current condition, and he's probably going to be gone soon. So everybody started bawling when he was doing Mama, I'm Coming Home. So I got to give him a ton of credit because I don't know if they boosted this. I have no idea what they did technically or whatever, but this was pretty cool. And this was probably the one that most people watched. Now they ended with Iron Man, and they ended with a killer Black Sabbath tune, but this was one of the last tunes and everybody was like bawling because it was kind of like, you know, Ozzy's going to die soon here. And this was his last performance. Everybody starts crying in the crowd, but it was pretty cool. So there you go. There's a little snippet from Ozzy, but he was cool over the weekend just being able to, yeah, Paranoid was the last song. Thanks. It was just cool over the weekend, like everyone, you know, popping the clips in, but then if you wanted to, you could obviously find ways to watch the whole thing. But like Steven Tyler doing A Whole Lot of Love, bunch of Tom Morello's an awesome guitarist. I mean, he was up there. I mean, it was just all these people flying in. Axl sounds terrible. I mean, Ozzy sounded better than Axl, but you know, cool to see Guns N' Roses up there doing Welcome to the Jungle and all the different stuff and all different, you know, everybody did some sort of a rendition of a Black Sabbath song or an Ozzy song, Crazy Train, like all of it. It was very cool. But anyway, very cool. And I got to give the guy a ton of credit, regardless of what they did, how they did it. For a dude like that to be in that kind of a condition and be able to, you know, do a final show like that was pretty cool. I mean, that was pretty cool. Even if you're not like a hot, you know, even if you're not like a metal fan or something like that, it was like people realize what this dude meant to rock and roll. So that was pretty cool. And then I don't have a clip from Oasis. And again, it's not that I don't like them. It's just, I know it's a big deal. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's a much bigger deal in England maybe than it is here. Could be wrong. If they were in town, I'd go see them. It's not that. It's just, you know, Ozzy versus Oasis to me was kind of, a, you know, all those guys flying over and all those bands and all those guys. That was pretty cool. That was definitely pretty cool over the weekend. So anyway, I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you care, but that was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool moment for him. And then, of course, like I said, everybody's bawling like, oh, my God. It kind of just hit him like they partied and all the, you know, the different bands come out. It was all day and all night. And it was awesome. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, Ozzy's singing Mama, I'm Coming Home. He's basically saying, I'm going to die here shortly. And everyone's like, oh, my God, this is really it. Like, it kind of hit everybody, right? Like, this is it. And the dude, yeah, Pantera, I mean, they were rocking it, man. It was cool. I mean, the whole thing was pretty killer. So anyway, yeah, that was cool. Whoever put that together, man, bravo. I mean, these dudes were like, yeah, let's go. That was pretty cool. All right, so there we are, Ozzy and Oasis. Random things have happened throughout the show today. I told you about one ply toilet paper in my house. We talked about Costco at a pretty high level today. Told you about the chopped, like I said, you got brisket, you got whatever, man. Anything left in the chop. Type four, chop it up, man. Put it in a pan. Throw some barbecue sauce. Put it on a big, nice roll. Now you're kicked with gas. people who know, just know. Wait a minute. I got to get this. People who know, just know. I found Oasis before Oasis knew they were Oasis. Didn't you know that, John? That's a good call right there. I mean, if you don't know that, I'm sorry. It's an inside joke, and it's funny. All right, let me do the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. I've made you wait long enough. This is good. I'm going to be honest with you, man. This is a good one. Maybe one of our better ones. And the only reason I say that is, let me get my media assets here. Let me get my music going. This is a good one. If you got to go, give me another minute, okay? This will be a good, sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol for you.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. John.
All right. So this is what got me thinking about this for speeches. So I don't know if you saw this. And I don't know what Alvin Kamara's connection is to Chicago. He's a running back for the New Orleans Saints. He went to Tennessee, so there's got to be something, right? But Alvin Kamara throws out a first, not only a first pitch, but a second pitch, which I've never seen. You throw a first pitch, it's bad. Sorry, that's all you got. We got, like, there's a clock going. Baseball, let's go. Boom, 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 boom. And they got everything, like, regimented. I've thrown first pitches before. I've done three times. And they're like, boom, 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 boom. Like, they got it down to the minute. We're starting at 7:05 and da-da-da-da-da-da. So, they, you know, you don't have time to throw a second pitch. I've never seen it except with Alvin Kamara. So, this got me. This isn't the main thing. This is just what got me to what I'm going to show you here in a minute. So, here is your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. And here is Alvin Kamara saying, nope, that first pitch sucked. Give me another one. He's like, nope, more, another, give me it. And it worked. So it looked like it was early enough. It looked like it was early enough in the process because the only people you see there, because I've been to many Cubs games, and what you do is you have to run to the bleachers because they're not assigned. So you see, like, there's a bunch of people in the bleachers because they ran from, like, Murphy's Bleachers or the Cubby Bear or something. And they're like, okay, we got to get a seat because in the bleachers, they're not assigned. So you run out there. If you got a bleacher ticket, you want to get a good seat. So you saw people in the bleachers. So it looked like it was pretty early in the process. So they gave him a second chance. So then what that did for me is, and I knew I had this, and a lot of times I can't find my old stuff, but for some reason I went back into the archives and I found, so the, I've thrown a minor league ballpark. I've thrown a first pitch and I've thrown two first pitches at an A's game. So this is back. I think this is like 2011. So George is in this. This is my first pitch from A's. And they were playing, I think they were playing the Dodgers. And the thing was just a horrible pitch. But what I was doing was, and you'll hear the great Dick Callahan, may he rest in peace, the great Dick Callahan here. And this is in Oakland, obviously. And at 95-7, the game, when it first started, we were carrying the Giants, carrying the A's. And they allowed all of us to throw out a first pitch. And so it was my turn, right? We had done it in, I don't know, once a month or something, and it was my turn. And Brandon Tierney, if you remember, this had to be 2011 now because Tierney wasn't here very long, who's now at WFA in New York. And he was a New York guy that came out to San Francisco, wasn't a great fit. Hey, how's it going? And I was like, whoa, who's this guy? So anyway, but Brandon Tierney had bet, and I was doing middays, and Tierney was doing drive time with Eric Davis. That was ill-fated. But he had bet me that I wouldn't go out there and do a Chad Bradford impersonation. So, of course, I was like, come on, man. We got to do this. Dick Callahan said it was for $50. It was for $100. And so I had no problem. And so this is a promo that 95.7 The Game put together. And just to kind of age this whole thing, as you well know, my son George is a senior at Arizona State at the Cronkite Broadcast School. He's 21. In this picture, this had to be 2011. So what is that, 14 years ago? So like seven, eight years. And you'll see how bad this first pitch was. So again, Alvin Kamara throws double pitches, first pitches. And I'm like, I know that thing is around somewhere. So I went into my archives and found this. And again, this is a promo that 95.7 The Game did. But my pitch is horrible. And here's the other thing. Bonus. So I'm in this. George is in this when he was like seven. And then you're going to get bonus Brody Brazil. Bonus Brody Brazil in the background after my pitch. And I'm trying to explain why it went so wrong. So here you go. 15 years ago.
Sound for sports in the Bay Area is 95.7 The Game.
John Lund from the Wheelhouse, 10-2 on 95.7 The Game. I'm about to throw probably about a 98-mile-an-hour fastball on the mound here. Behold, this may be my last appearance, because when Billy Bean sees my Chad Bradford impersonation, he's probably going to want to sign me on the spot. So it's been great doing the Wheelhouse, but this arm, this ball will carry me to the major leagues. Behold, thank you for joining me. Thank you for watching this incredible experience on 95.7 The Game.
And our thanks to all the fans in attendance celebrating Jewish Heritage Night. Ladies and gentlemen, also keep your attention on the pitcher's mound, where John Lund from 95.7 The Game will toss out tonight's second ceremonial first pitch. John is the host of the Wheelhouse on weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 95.7 The Game, the Bay Area's new sound for sports and radio home of the Oakland A's. And John, I understand.
Hey, before, hang on a second, a couple of things here. So there's George, who's now 21, standing next to me. I don't know what's going on with those pants. I look like I'm like MC Hammer. Those are gigantic pants. I have no idea what's going on with those gigantic pants. And then, like I said, I'm looking over because someone's giving me a signal. And of course, as you're hearing the voice of God, that is the great Dick Callahan, by the way, who has left us now. So anyway, he's going to now describe the, he says it's a $50 bet with Tierney. It was $100 that I would do at Chad Bradford. So carry on.
And earlier this evening, a challenge was levied to you by Brandon Tierney on the drive. And I believe there's something like $50 that's up for grabs here if you, in fact, do your impression of Chad Bradford. So let it rip. All right, John. Better than Whitey. John was accompanied by his son George, who will assist him.
Call me. I don't know. That was like. It wasn't 101, but I think it was about 98, and it was right down the middle. So Billy, there's a lot of calls. The phone. Oh, I got another call right now. There's a lot of offers, Billy. And I'll go fairly cheap. I'll give you a hometown discount. Arms a little sore. Got to ice a little bit. I'll talk to you soon. And tune into the Wheelhouse 10-2 to hear about my exploits. Man, that was money.
All right, no, it was not. Two, you got a little Brody Brazil bonus back there, and then my kids jumping up and down doing the peace sign. I got MC Hammer balloon pants. That's probably why everything went so wrong. But, so that was about 15 years ago, because I got it. Like I said, my son is 21. Brody hasn't aged a bit. Brody looks 100% the same as he did. It does now. Maybe he's got a couple of grays, but not much. I mean, it's, you know, it looks pretty similar. Did the Bradford, got the $100, but that thing went wide. I think it slipped out of my hand. I don't know. But I couldn't find this one. So you can hear everybody booing. And then the second part of this is, so the A's probably 2 years later. So still in the memory bank. 2 years later, they let me redeem myself. They call me up and they go, hey, we want you to do it again, but we want you to redeem yourself. So I'm like, okay. So I do it again. I'm going out there again, and I'm getting booed because they can remember the last one. But I had my son still, and he was still at that cute age, right? He wasn't quite at that age where it was like, oh, he's not cute anymore. He's still cute. And we go out there, and everyone's booing me, and Dick Callahan's like, can you do it better this time? And he's up there with me again, and I hand him the ball because I knew that they wouldn't boo him. And he throws the first pitch, and he nails it right to the catcher, like, boom, nails it. And everyone's cheering, and he's going like this. And so it took the onus off me. And then they, right after that, they said, no more kids. Like, so, because other guys, again, they were allowing all the hosts to throw a first ball, and all of them wanted to bring their kid out there because I did it. And they were like, nope, no more kids. You got to throw it. And it's because I was like, because they're going, boo, they're booing the hell out of me. And I'm like, I'm not throwing this again. They're going to boo a 9-year-old. And so, and then he nailed it the second time. So that's the follow-up to that. So anyway, like I said, that's like 15 years ago. So anyway, did you boo me? That's all right. It was horrible. It's a horrible throw. I would have booed me. I had no issue with you booing me at all. Yeah. I mean, he was behind me like, oh, God. It was terrible. Not bad. Like I said, if I'd thrown it over, I would have been fine. But like I said, I got $100 out of it. I'm fine with it. No problem. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, he had no facial hair back then. He probably could have grew it. Yeah, Brody's the best, man. He's so good. When we were at when I was at 95.7, the number one guy I wanted to have fill in with me, because remember, he used to do Brody's iPod, and when iPod was a thing. And yeah, lefty. I'm a lefty. And oh, total OG, man. I mean, we started that in 2011. And the story was, and I don't know if I've even told, yeah, I don't know that those were cargo pants. They were just loose pants. It was like, what was I thinking? Like, you're going to a baseball game. Now, it was probably chilly that night, but still, you don't have to wear like the loosest pants you have. I guess that might have been the thing. I don't think so. I don't think it was a thing. It was brutal, man. So the story on the Wheelhouse, by the way, is, so I'm not in the market. Where the hell was I? Dallas or something? So I'm not in the market. I get called by a consultant, basically, who was actually driving through town, and he heard my show. And he knew I was from the West Coast. He was an old friend of mine. His name was Rick Scott. He used to be the big consultant in sports radio. So Rick calls me one day and says, hey, man, they're starting a new station in the Bay Area. And everybody knew of KNBR that was in the business. So I was like, yeah, they're starting a new station to compete with KNBR. And they think you'd be a great fit. And I know you're from the West Coast. I was from, from Southern California. And you're trying to get back to the West Coast. This might be a great opportunity. So I come out, I meet with them. Everything's going great. Jason Barrett, who is a guy who has a big, he's now the big sports radio consultant nowadays. And he's from New York. At the time, he was the program director at 95.7 The Game. So I have a meeting with him and some other powers that be in downtown San Francisco before I took the job. And they said, hey, we're either going to have you work with, we're going to have you do middays, and we're even going to have you work with Rick Bucher or Mike Silver. Well, I knew both those names at the time. Bucher was the main NBA guy at ESPN, and he was living down in Half Moon Bay. And of course, Silver, Cal guy, lives in the Bay, and NFL guy. So I'm like, yeah, I know both those guys. Yeah, either one of those guys would be a great guy to do a show with. So I agree I agree. Dot I's, cross T's, whatever, get a contract. I moved to the Bay Area in July. We are going to launch on August 1st. And I moved to the Bay Area in July. And so I keep asking this dude, like, who's my co-host? Who's my co-host? All the other shows were set. Brandon Tierney, Eric Davis, the Rise guys were the morning show. I think at that point we had four shows. I think there was another show. So I keep asking, who's my co-host? Who's my co-host? Who's my co-host? Not getting any word back. So then about a week before finally, because I wanted to contact the guy. I wanted to go out and have some beers and start talking about the show and what we were going to do. And so about a week before the station's going to launch near the end of July. In fact, this has been, 14 years? Today's the 7th. So yeah, you know what's crazy? July 7th. I moved to the Bay Area on July 7th. Isn't that crazy? July 7th. And so I've been here 15 years. Today, 15 years ago today. Wow, I didn't even remember that. But yeah, it was July 7th. We moved here. And so anyway, so I'm in town and weeks are passing by. I'm living in downtown San Francisco, whatever. They're putting me up. Nice condo. And so finally, I'm like, dude, who's going to be my co-host? I really need to know. And so we're like a week out. And we meet. Remember the Thirsty Bear in San Francisco? Doesn't exist anymore after the pandemic. But we meet at the Thirsty Bear. And I'm sitting there with him. I'm like, so what's going on? And he goes, well, okay, I got this concept for you. Which, by the way, I would have never come down if I'd have known this concept ahead of time. He goes, we're going to do this thing called the Wheelhouse, which means we're going to rotate guests every single day. And to start, the rotating guests were, speaking of rest in peace, the great Michael Urban, Matt Steinmetz, and Papa. Those were the three. And those guys were going to be consistent. And then they would do like once a week. And then the other 2 days a week, who knows? It would be Kyle Kami. It would be Brody. It would be Matt Maiocco, depending on the season. We had some Giants guys in there. Like, they were rotating all these different guys in. Now, the problem with that is what you do as a radio show host is you kind of establish who and what you are. So I am what I am. It's not like Popeye. I am what I am. But it's what they say in the radio industry is you need a deer and a dick. So in other words, somebody likes, and then the other guy who, people can get pissed off at. I was generally speaking the dick in a lot of the shows that I did before. So I'm like, I'm the lead host. Everybody loves Papa, right? So that's fine, whatever. But it would be like, okay, people love Papa, and maybe they get mad at Steinmetz, or maybe they get mad. Like, everybody loved Maiocco. Everybody hated Kawakami. So it was like every day I had to change kind of my role, which isn't ideal, especially when you're trying to establish yourself in a market. They're like, who the hell is this jackass? Right. So I couldn't really establish myself because I was kind of a different host, not host, but I played a different role depending on the day. And lots of times The show started at 10 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't know who my co-host was till like 9:30. I'm like, who's co-hosting it? We're trying to find that out. And so here I am trying to establish myself in this market. It's like, I don't even know who my co-host is until it's like 9:30 in the morning. And there's a big difference between talking Niners with Matt Maiocco and everybody calling up saying how much they hated Kawakami. Like it would just depend, you know, oh, Papa can't do the show today. It's going to be this guy. Like what? Like it was crazy. Roxy Bernstein would sit in. Like it just, you didn't know. You didn't know who was going to do the show day to day. Sometimes it's like, okay, you're going to do the first hour solo. And then it's like, I went in there after about a month. And I'm like, bro, like seriously, is this really what we're going to do? And so anyway, we go through that. I don't know. Maybe it was probably a year. Actually, we probably did that for a year. And then Papa decided I can do this on a regular basis. I'll do it five times a week. Remember, he was at Comcast and we were right across the street from Comcast. So sometimes he had to leave early for Giants and he would go over there. But we started doing the show. It was just me and then it was me and Papa. And that started probably a year in. But for the first year, it was like, who the hell is my co-host? It was crazy. It was crazy that first year. So anyway, yeah, my God, today's July 7th, 15 years today that I moved to the Bay Area, 15 years. All right, there's that. So anyway, hope that was worth the wait, but I'm going to post that later too. I'll post that whole thing later if you missed it, but yeah, there you go. My first pitch wearing balloon pants with my son who is, yeah, he was probably, so he's like six or seven then. That's crazy. And there's a Brody appearance too. So there you go. Yeah. Thirsty Bear, long gone. A few years ago, right? Because of the pandemic. So anyway, there you go. All right. That is a sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose Pistol. And that is episode 184. Winken in Sacramento. All-Stars. Is Adamas back? Miller hurt. Trade names I gave you in baseball. NBA trade. Are they waiting on Giannis? Could be Horford. Not going to really change anything for the Warriors. Giannis looks like he's in no rush as he's on a boat, as I showed you that. 49ers revenge. Christian McCaffrey, the fifth best running back in the NFL. We'll see. Dad bod Mahomes. Ozzy and Oasis. Random things happen throughout the show. Single ply toilet paper and how to do your July 4th leftovers and throwback. Alvin Kamara doing the double pitch led me to go find my pitch at an A's game 15 years ago. So anyway, there you go. That is your episode 184. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts before we get out of here? Yeah, Hey Behaves. That's, yeah, that was a little while into it. I don't remember how long into it, but Haberman and Middlecoff did like 10 to noon and Pop and I did 12 to 3. And then as radio does, they got cheap. And then what they did was they now it's, you know, 6 to 10, 10 to 2, 2 to 6. Like they just have three shows now across the board. I think on both stations. I don't listen, but yeah, I think that's what it is. I haven't, like I said, this is truth. I was like, KNBR in November, haven't listened to any sports radio on the market since. No need to. It's all here. All the guys I listened to are on YouTube now. What else do we have? Anything else? All right. I think that's good. All right. Good show had by all. Thank you for tuning in today for episode 184. Hopefully it was entertaining. Remember, you see those two legs there. That is my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. Got to give him a plug before we get out of here as well. Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Make sure that you Google it. He's going to make you feel better. Make my wife feel better. Make me feel better. Men, women, look better, feel better. Dr. Riopelle is the man. So make sure you hit that as well. What else do we have today? Anything else we got to hit today? I guess that's it. All right. Have a wonderful Monday. As I always remind you, please make sure that you give us a like before you get out of here. Make sure you're subscribed, especially if you're watching on one of the other platforms like X, or you could be watching on Instagram as well. You could be watching on, what else? LinkedIn today, Facebook, anyway. Please make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure those alerts are on because we always send stuff out and hit us with a like before you get out of here as well. Please hit us up on the Bay Area Sports Collective in addition to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Everybody have a wonderful day. Questions, comments, thoughts right underneath here, or the best place to get me is X. And for all things Unleashed, just go to johnlundunleashed.com. Everybody have a wonderful, amazing Monday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye.